Want more stories in your life without adding to your TBR? That's where Audible comes in. I use it for the original novellas, the Plus catalog like Deanna Reborn's Veronica Speedwell series, and those audiobook sales that you can beat. Right now, Audible has a special offer for new and returning members. Click the link in the show notes to see what deal you'll get and start listening today. The What to Read Next podcast helps to build a TBR of future favorite books. In each episode, Lori Amin interviews authors and book influencers to recommend books they loved for you to pick up today. If you're an avid reader, always looking for your next great read, then this show.
Hi, Lauren. Welcome to What to Read Next podcast.
Thank you so much for having me.
So happy to have you here. Tell us a little bit about yourself.
So I've been writing for a very long time. It was kind of all I ever wanted to do from school, which I guess is pretty usual with writers. But I trained as a writer. I worked as a copywriter. I ran writing workshops. I'm trained as a writing facilitator. So I help people use writing to feel better, kind of like a mental yoga, like journaling and things like that, which I really love. And then I kind of decided to have a go, write a book. It's kind of all gone from there now. So The Fixer Upper came out last August, and now Deal Breakers is coming out this August, and it's just been a completely wild ride.
So I'm curious to hear about your experience for writing for like mental health and just kind of like just a way to kind of like get out of your way in some ways. I've been journaling since like 2008, and it was because I was in eating disorder recovery, and that was a way to, I emulated what other people were talking about. I was like, oh, I need to remember this, and that's how the journaling practice came about. And I do this every day. It's like what I do.
Yeah, that's actually what I did my master's in, was using creative writing for eating disorder recovery.
Yes.
That's so funny. But and it was just amazing to see, just even in sort of my personal journey as well, like how you can, like even something like I do gratitude sort of 10 minute writing where I just write things I'm grateful for. Yep. Even when I'm in a really low mood, I just do a bullet point of like things I'm looking forward to or things I can be happy about. When I have my son, it's kind of really hard to be creative when you've got a young baby, but that's what I used to do, was just bullet point things I was looking forward to. And kind of, even if I only had a few minutes to kind of write something down, or doing kind of what I used to call a 60-second scribble, which is just kind of free writing, and just giving yourself that freedom to write whatever nonsense comes out and not judge yourself on it. It's just ways to kind of unblock yourself. It's so easy to get caught up in consuming content all the time that actually just sometimes sitting quietly and having 5 minutes, I've just found writing can make such a difference.
It does. It really does make a difference. I think in some ways it helps you kind of like, not just with coping with life and coping with problems and to unravel them, but also allows you to just to quiet the anxiety. Like there's something to be said about just like, I just can do a brain dump about what the fuck is going on. And then realize I'm like, oh, like, you know, sometimes like your hand is faster than your mind. And it gives you the solution that you may be looking for.
Exactly. It just pops out of nowhere and it's your brain doing the work, but it doesn't feel like I love that. And I just think I used to do this thing, it's also about switching perspective. I think that's so, like, being able to just kind of write from someone else's perspective, especially if you're not able to show yourself a little bit kindness, like actually just switching it and kind of being like, well, if I was talking to someone else, I would have been kind about this, like if I was writing from the perspective of a friend or a family member, or they would be kind to me. So there's been some fun stuff, and you know, just doing some fun stuff like writing yourself in a battle, or being a superhero, or being a, you know, there's so much fun to be had with it as well. And I really think it just breaks a lot of boundaries that we put on ourselves.
Yeah. And in some ways, like just doing that kind of writer, you're a writer, like, you know, like it's not like you don't need to have a published book, or you don't need to have like this whole career. Like you can just do this as a hobby that doesn't need to be monetized. It can just be about you, and it can be a supplemental therapy in many ways, you know?
Yeah. You're a writer if you write. I don't believe in gatekeeping, you know, there's so much in the publishing world of like, Are you traditionally published? Are you self-published? Are you, you know, are you writing? Are you writing every day? Are you writing a minimum of 1,000 words? No, like if you're writing, you're a writer. That's it.
So let's talk about the deal breakers. What is that elevator pitch?
Marina, who is an app developer or a coder, she spent the last decade of her life with her partner, who, you know, her teenage boyfriend, her first real boyfriend. And they're just getting to that age where they want to have kids and all that kind of stuff. And then he kind of says, actually, nah, don't want to. Don't really feel like this. Don't think I want to have this at all. And so she's then like, okay, I'm ready in this part of my life for this, but now I haven't got the person that I thought I was going to do it with. So she kind of goes into panic mode and starts dating like erratically in this hope that she will just find someone to slot into place. And obviously that goes terribly wrong. So she
sounds terrible.
it's just a terrible way to do things. But I think there's something in this whole like time of life. Yeah. People make decisions in the time of their life, not where they are necessarily. Yeah. So she creates this thing called Deal Breakers, which is an app overlay that sits on any of your dating apps that allows you to see reviews from other women on the men that you're looking at. So, which I always thought was a really interesting idea. And again, would be terrible in real life and absolutely awful. You can see how badly it's going to go. But, you know, there was an idea of the sisterhood helping each other out that actually, you know, you've been chatting to this guy for 3 weeks, but then you get to a bar and realize he's really rude to the wait staff.
Yeah.
And that immediate deal breaker for you. Why waste your time? But he might be fine for someone else who's not bothered by that.
Yeah.
So yeah, that's the idea. And so she sets up this app and she's sort of desperately dating. And then her work enemy, who has been work from home, remote nemesis, comes into the office and she realizes, she looks him up to try and get some dirt on him and realizes he has the most deal breakers of anyone on the site, on any dating app. he is just the worst. So they're in a bit of a competition at work and she's trying to use that that information against him, but gradually realizes, of course, that when you have a big list of deal breakers, sometimes someone comes along and is not on the list, but maybe it should be.
Yeah. Well, I think it's just that it turns the thing off like that. It takes online dating, the parts that we hate about online dating. And we've seen it in TikTok or stuff, and people are like, and the New York scene, I've seen it a couple of times. There's the West Elm, whatever, Caleb, I think it is, there where girls are start talking about like the guy they have dated like over and over and over. Like it's a trend. So obviously this is like a needed market that we need reviews. And at the same time, again, like bad reviews doesn't mean for you, it may mean bad review, but for another person, it might be the greatest review of all time. So it's like such a personal aspect of it, you know?
Yeah, that was the idea, is that it's not necessarily meant to be mean, but it was that's what she thinks she's sort of creating is something very, you know, almost like recommending someone or not recommending someone to a friend without the app. But technology makes everything more complex.
Yes, it does. So what was the process of writing this novel? Like, did you plot it out? Like, did you come up with like, you know, the idea? What came first? Idea, the characters, the plot?
Well, I think the idea of writing about someone who had been ready for that next stage of life and then been let down kind of appealed to me. I think I've seen that a lot with friends and just different people. There always seems to be, you know, this idea of people get married when they're in that time of life, but maybe they're not actually the right person, but it just feels like they are ready for it. So I always thought that kind of time of life versus who you're with is very interesting. And then in terms of the idea, I pitched a few to my agent and to the guys at Putnam, to my editor, and that was the one that kind of stood out to them, which is great because that was the one that I was excited about. So we sort of, I planned it out a bit and they kind of said, okay, go ahead. And then, in the middle of that, I had a baby. So I ended up writing this book. I think it was 3 months after I had my son, I tried to write. My Instagram was just pictures of like a little baby head and like me balancing a laptop. Which was definitely the hardest thing, trying to write, like, not only trying to be witty when you've had not much sleep, but trying to write romance when your idea of romance is just being like not touched or asked for anything.
Or just being able to take a shower or have a full night's sleep or eating a meal without having, you know, distraction.
Yeah, eating a meal with two hands, or like, just being quietly left alone to have a cup of coffee. So It's definitely the hardest thing I've done. So I'm really proud of it and how it turned out. We did quite a few rounds of editing. And then the time just kind of suddenly whooshed by and now it's ready to go out into the world.
Oh my gosh, I love it. I love this, like, honestly, like, sometimes you, this is the baby, the newborn baby that you're going to remember. This is what I did when you, like, you can tell your child, like, this is what I accomplished when you were newborn.
But yeah, if anyone's wondering why there's no spicy scenes in it, that's probably the reason why.
It is okay. Awesome. Laura, what kind of books do you tend to read? I'm assuming that you're probably not reading as much as it was in the past, but maybe, like, you have read some books, or, like, what kind of books do you tend to read, you know?
Yeah, I mean, yeah, I love your traditional rom-com. I love your kind of commercial women's fiction. I mean, women's fiction. I've never come up with the right term for that is, but it's, that one sucks, but I'm sure there's something better.
Yeah.
I got to read most recently a couple of really great books. So Lizzie Dent wrote The Sweetest Revenge, which I just loved because she is so not afraid to put her characters in, like, the most cringeworthy situations and, like, fully, like, torture them with these moments. And so I have total respect for that because I struggle with that. I just, it makes me like, oh God, oh God. And so I really love that. I just thought it was so witty and so funny. And then I read recently Hayley Acton, who wrote Begin Again, which is this kind of slightly speculative, like, this woman who's just not doing much with her life and she chokes on a kebab on a drunken night out and kind of gets the chance to, at I think it's like 7 different points in her life where things might have been different if she'd made different choices, and she gets to go and live those lives and kind of see what would have happened, and she gets to pick one. And that was so life affirming and just so uplifting, and just I love that kind of stuff, like, you know, Groundhog Day and all that kind of stuff where you get to see things happen and might try and make changes. So that made me being like, oh, I wonder if I, like, booked a flight to Bali, or, like, how could my life change if I suddenly went and had an adventure. So yeah, I love that books can kind of transport you like that.
Yeah. Oh my gosh, I love this book. I'm actually adding it to my TBR. And I agree, Lizzie, like, the her books are great, but they're definitely cringeworthy, like, things. Like, she puts them to a rare. Like,
yeah, that's it.
And it's really sweet at the end because you see the character growth, you see the art happening, but it's like, it's a touch and go, you know, the beginning.
Yeah, there is definite. Yeah, she is making those characters grow. There is no way out of that. You sit there and you go, oh my God, what would I do? I would just curl up. I would not. Like, well done to this character for doing their thing, because I would have just hidden forever.
Yeah. So, Lauren, tell us where to find Ally.
You can find me at laurenforsythewrites.com, where I've got a blog and I'll update all the bits and bobs going on. And then, yeah, you can just find me on Instagram, and I am Twitter, but mainly Instagram is probably the one. Okay. Let's not get into Twitter, but what's going on over there. But yeah, at Lauren Forsyth Author. I probably should have checked that, but I'm pretty sure it's Lauren Forsyth Author.
Thank you, Lauren, for being the show.
Thanks so much.
If you enjoyed this podcast, feel free to share with friends, subscribe, rate, and review the show. This is the easiest way to support the podcast. For a list of books mentioned and other book recommendations, please visit whatyoureadnextblog.com. Thank you so much for listening, and happy reading.
Are you an author, publisher, or book-related business looking to reach passionate readers? What You Read Next podcast is a perfect place to connect with an engaged audience of romance and mystery lovers who are always on the hunt for their next great read. Now, we're offering sponsorship opportunities. Whether you're launching a new book, promoting an upcoming release, showcasing a bookish product or services, we can help you get the word out. Let's work together to bring your books or businesses to readers who are ready to discover something new. Please visit whatyoureadnextblog.com/sponsorships to learn more, or reach out to chat about the perfect sponsorship or package for you. Thank you much for listening. Your next great reader is waiting for you.